ladies, it is that time of year again. We are so amped, excited, and ready for this year's SWATA conference. The theme this year is the awakening. We are going to go to that level that God is calling us as women. So come and join us August 16th through the 18th. We have a great lineup of speakers, and you will be blessed August 16th through the 18th. Put it on your calendar. The awakening. We're going to that place that God is calling us as women, and we are excited. So ladies, come, all of you, be in the house. I will be looking forward to seeing you. Be blessed.
Headed in the right direction. 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 Headed in the right direction.
You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Yes, You Can.
We're going to go right down to verse 15. Thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth, and with his mouth I will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. Thou shalt be to him as God, and thou shalt take this rod in thy hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. And we've been looking at the backdrop of Moses' encounter with God in the wilderness as God calls him and speaks to him and tells him to go into Egypt and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses had run from Egypt. You know, when you'd run from a place and been a fugitive, you ain't exactly trying to go back there. You know, you're like, if they ain't pursuing me anymore, I'm not going to go and voluntarily, you know, be around them kind of thing. And this is years later, he's married, possibly, you know, if you study scripture, he possibly has children by now. He's married this Midianite woman. They were also people who served Jehovah God. And everything is fine. He's not where he ought to be, but he's not where he used to be, and things are comfortable. Can I tell you, for many of you, God's not just going to give you a comfortable life. Comfortable in this regard, to the degree that you don't have to use your faith, to the degree that you can just coast along. You know, I mean, when the Lord spoke to me and told me to plant another church, that was back in the early 90s. He had been dealing with me a couple of years. We planted Arnsburg in 1996. And I was telling the Lord, I said, come on, God. I said, you know, I'm from a storefront church. You know, that was my background. I did revivals a whole week in storefront churches. And I was just happy. You know, if there was 100 people there, God, oh, man, we running over tonight. Yeah, and so that was my. And now, you know, we God used us to plant a church, and now we were on nationwide television and all that, and all of you are here, and you know, a church of 2,000, 2,500, 3,000, depending on who coming, who going, because you always going to have some churn. We call that churn. You know, anything that's alive has a movement. Y'all ain't hearing what I said. Let me see if this side get that. Anything that's alive got a movement. If stuff come in, something got to go out. Otherwise, you get constipated. So I had to make it plain. Anything that's alive got, so you want it to have a movement. Anything alive is going to have a movement, okay? And so the Lord talked to me and said, I want you to go plant another. I said, Lord, haven't I done enough? I mean, for me, where I'm from, this is big. Why we got to mess with this? You know, why we got to mess with it? I said, Lord, it took me long enough to get the city folks in South Carolina like me. Y'all city folks here. Okay, I didn't understand that until just a couple weeks ago. We went a half hour from here. One of my staff members, you know, his His mother went to be with the Lord, and so the staff, we went out 30 minutes away from here into Lexington County. Y'all ain't been to Lexington. You been to Lexington? You ain't been to Lexington County. I mean Lexington County. Okay? And I said, oh, my God. Oh, and I saw the tallest flag that I have ever seen. Way up high. Letting everybody know this is our territory. Are you hearing me? And so I'm only a half hour away from, and so I'm like, God, you know, I'm from up north. I speak my mind. I say things in a way that folk got to get used to, because y'all used to everything being sugar-coated. You ain't supposed to say it like that. And I just come right out and say it. And it took, you know, and to get folks used to me, I'm like, now I got to go to Orangeburg? They really ain't going to like me out there. And God kept stretching me to do more. Then when he spoke Florence, I'm like, really? Really, God? For real? Aren't we good? And you only need to understand something. Because I'm not trying to build my own kingdom. And even now, the last couple of years, when God stopped, speak me again, get those plans back out. You still got another church to build. Okay? We got to at least double our capacity. At least. And we're going to try to at least do a double and a half of it, okay? So we got at least double our capacity. And there's some of us, God's going to always be stretching you. You're not called to be average. Other folks in your family can be average, and some of them will look at you and be mad at you and have an attitude with you. Because you think you all that. Always trying to get something else. Always trying to do more. Always go, because some of you are not called to be average. Come on, if that's you, if you know you ain't called to be average, holler at your boy. Look at somebody and say, I ain't called to be average. I'm not called to be average. When churches have campaigns and people make pledges, people, the most usually you can expect is 60 to 65%. We did 81%. Why? Because we ain't average. You want to go to the average church? You need to leave right now. You want the average pastor? Then I'm not him. Faith will not allow you to be average. Faith always pushes against the status quo. Faith makes you dream beyond where you are. Like God says to Abraham, lift up your eyes. Look from the place where you are. Look northward and southward, east. Faith will always cause you to look beyond where you are. Faith calls you to take journeys and you don't know where you're going. But you know, you don't, watch this. This is what I said about the spirit of faith. The faith will cause you to know, I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't. Come on now. There's a holy discontentment that goes on you when you got the spirit of faith. I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't. And then you start saying, and this ain't it. This ain't the place. I thank God for this car, but this ain't the car. I thank God for this house, but this ain't. I'm glad we married, but come on, this ain't the kind of marriage that God want me to have. I gotta press on and go beyond this. I was talking to a man the other night, a man to man, that y'all, some of y'all don't come out to that. If you think I got something to say to you as your pastor, you ought to, every time you get a chance to be under me, you ought to be there. All the more if you got a title in this church. I pay money, thousands of dollars, to go sit under Pastor Dollar for years and to be under Bishop J. Because I believe there's something they're going to say that I need to have. That's called impartation. And if you want to go beyond average, you have to push beyond average. You cannot do anything great and just be comfortable. That's why God can only promote you based upon your level of pain capacity. When I'm talking about pain capacity, the ability to stretch and be uncomfortable. There's a time you got to be uncomfortable in average. There's a time you got to be uncomfortable in just barely making it. There's a time you got to be uncomfortable in just paying your bills. And what I said to the men the other night regarding marriage, for, you know, I didn't come from a family whose marriages stayed together. And so my whole thing initially was about quantity of years. We're going to be together. We're going to be together. My mother and father separated by the time I was five. Okay. I didn't know marriages that stayed together. I came from a family with brothers and sisters. Yes, they moved in with people and shacked right in this section without the commitment of marriage. And so when I met Pastor Marcia, well, the good thing was she was already come from a Catholic background who were not proponents of divorce anyway. And so she already had the mentality that we're not supposed to be divorced. And we kept saying, we ain't getting divorced. 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 And so I was just so settled, we ain't getting divorced. And then one time I think I said in the pulpit, I made up my mind, even if I'm miserable, I'm going to be miserable with her. Then I started looking at how old I was and how many years I might have left. Then I realized, I just don't want to be together and be miserable. If we're going to be together, we got to have love. Doom, 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 doom. Love and happiness make you do right when you want to do wrong. You see how I changed that? Because God's love make you do right when you want to do wrong. So now in the latter years, we done raised children, all in out the house, got grandchildren. Now, in our latter years, we got to work on not just being together. We got to work on the quality of this marriage. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Yeah. And so some of you, God's not going to let you just settle. God's going to be challenging you to get the most out of life. And when God is challenging you, and your flesh and your preferences are telling you, I can't do this, God says, yes, you can. And Moses is happy, or at least content. They're not trying to kill me anymore. Got a nice wife, and you know, we got this nice little sheep and everything. We all right. And God speaks to him and said, no, I called you for greater. I called you for greatness. No, you are not. Oh, yet you may be in an obscure place, but I didn't call you to be an obscure person. Who is that to? You may be in an obscure place, but God didn't call you to be an obscure person. Because at the right time, God will call you from the backside of the desert and put you on a stage that make you wonder how I got here, where the light looks so bright it's blinding you, but it's the place that God has you. So God tells him, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he gives God one excuse after the other, one excuse after the other, one excuse after the other. And I'm not going to spend the time, because I already spent too much time already in the introduction. I'm not going to spend the time reviewing. But the last thing Moses says to God, he says, after God eliminated all his excuses, he says, Exodus 4, verse 10, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. God said, I made your mouth. He eliminates his excuses. And then Exodus 4 and verse 13, he sums up everything that he's been trying to get God to understand. He says, I pray thee, send, O Lord, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. God, send somebody else. After all the excuses, bottom line, God, I want you to send somebody else. I can't do this. Use somebody else. Why I got to build a bigger church? Why I got to plant more campuses? Why I got to send my kids to school debt free? Student loans is the way you go. No, because God says, I want to make something new from you. I want to use you to start something different and set a new normal. Prosperity is supposed to be your new normal. Heal is supposed to be your new normal. A harmonious marriage is supposed to be your new normal, where you actually like each other and you want to spend time with each other. And you're not talking to your girlfriends and your homeboys. Can't say boyfriend today. Homeboys. Your dogs. Negatively about your spouse. God sends somebody else. So when God calls you to do something, he wants you to do it. Everybody say, he wants me to do it. God sends somebody else. No. It's not just what I want to do. It's also who I want to use to do it. Now here's the deal. God can use anybody. But when he wants to use you, there's also something in it for you. Now that should not be the main reason. If you loan Jesus your 5 barley loaves and a few fishes, you might go home with 12 baskets. You ought to catch that. If you let Jesus use you and use your boat and launch out so he can stand there and preach to the people at the shore, after he finished the message, he just might give you some nets full of fish. Y'all are hearing me here. Whenever God wants to use you, there's something in it for you. Who was that when? Was it Barack? When God told him to go and defeat the army, and he went to Deborah and said, I ain't going to let you go with me. And she said, all right, I'll go with you. She said, but the glory is going to go to a woman. In other words, he said, now I can go with you, but God told you to do it. And there's some glory, there's some promotion, come on now, that he wants to give you. And sometimes we're taking other people along with us. And God said, I want to bless you and your family. Stop taking Lot with you just because you love them. Some folks you got to love from afar. Oh my goodness. And some folks you love by sending something to them rather than bringing them with you. Y'all don't catch that. Some folks you love by sending something to them rather than bringing them along with you. When God wants to use you, he wants to use you. Let me also remind you this. And when he wants to use you, he needs you to show up. Not you trying to be somebody else. Come on now. He wants to use you. Your gifts, your talents, your abilities. Watch this. Everything I am. Everything I'm not, but I'm his. He knows everything I am, and he knows everything I'm not. God said, I still want to use you. I'm not eloquent, but I still want to use you. I don't have the looks that somebody else has. I still want to use you. I'm not as articulate and smart and clever as all the other people, but I still want to use you. I'm not as tall as this one. I'm not as short as that one. I'm not as lean as that one. I'm not as educated. Everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours. You belong to God, and you don't have to tell him what you don't have. He already knows what you don't have. Nor do you have to try to impress him with what you do have. He already knows everything you do have. You don't have to give God your resume. You don't have to ask God to be your LinkedIn friend. He already LinkedIn. He even knows the lies that you put on LinkedIn. Trying to impress somebody. And God, so he wants to use you. He wants to use you. So God's final word to Moses when he says, Lord, send somebody else, Exodus 4:14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God's eliminated all his excuses, and he's still making excuses. Can I tell you this? When God wants you to do something, you keep saying no, he will get angry. He will get mad. And the Bible says you don't want to fall into the hands of an angry God. God, you can frustrate God. God, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron your Levite, the Levite, your brother? He said, I know he can speak well. And also, behold, he, Aaron, is coming forth to meet you. And when you see him, he's going to be glad in his heart. Now, for years I read this, and a little boy read it. We watched it every year, especially on Easter, the Ten Commandments. God tells him, stop making excuses. I'm going to give you help. Everybody say, help is on the way. So my final message in this series, Yes You Can, is because help is on the way. Whatever God calls you to do, he'll give you help. He says to him, Aaron is going to meet you. Now, it's not like Aaron was just like at the house. It wasn't like Aaron was just back at the camp. And we don't know how long this encounter with God was. You know, we read this like just a conversation. I don't know. This thing could have went on for days, hours, weeks of God dealing with him and him scratching his head trying to figure this thing out and then going back to God saying, but I can't do this. And we don't know how long it was. But God says to him, he finally lets Moses in on what he had already been working. Y'all ain't hearing me here. While you making excuses, God's already working. While you're saying you can't do it, God's already raising up somebody to help you do it. While you're already talking about what you don't have, God's already sending somebody with what you need. So God says to him, behold, he cometh. Watch this. He's on his way is what that means. He's coming as we speak. My God, I'm preaching to somebody here today. Help is on his way as I speak. The money's coming as I speak. The resources are coming as I speak. So while you're trying to figure it out, God's already working out. Behold, he cometh forth to meet you. He said, when you see him, he's going to be glad in his heart. So God has, now watch it. I imagine that God tells Aaron, I want you, now Aaron's back in Egypt, y'all. God tells Aaron, go in the wilderness. He's most likely, he's a slave too. Escape. Go in the wilderness and go find your brother. He sends him on the way. Then he speaks to Moses and said, I need you to go down and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He already knew every excuse he's going to come up with. And so his last thing, he says, stop making excuses. Aaron will help you, and he's on his way. God was already working it out. Every excuse you say you don't have when God called you to do, he's already talked to somebody. He's already put people, resources in position to help you. I always tell y'all, the Bible says it creates things visible and invisible. There's an unseen world. Okay? You remember? This is in Acts around 11th chapter. There's this guy named Cornelius. And Cornelius is praying, and the Lord says to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial to me. He says, send for this guy named Peter. He's going to tell you what you need to do. And so, he sends men from his house to go find Peter. Peter's up on the roof. That's where that song came from. It's in Acts 11 chapters. We study it. Peter's up on the roof. He's up there sunbathing. And while he's sunbathing, he has a dream and a vision, and he sees all these things coming down that Jews know they ain't supposed to eat. Fried pork chops. Bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich.
hog maws and chicken with some hot sauce on the side. Some shrimp, like I'm going to eat today. With some cocktail sauce on the side. Lobster. All this stuff. And he tells Peter, rise, slay and eat. He said, not so, Lord. I ain't never ate no pork chop. And I ain't about to start today because I know that ain't the will of God. That's common. Common folks. Low class folks eat like that. God said, don't call anything that I've made common unclean. By that time, the men are already knocking at the door. And he tells Peter, he says, oh, by the way, there's some men who are knocking at your door. Go on down there and answer the door and go with them, nothing doubting. Y'all are catching this. So while God tells Cornelius to send for him, God tells Peter they come in and go with him. So the men didn't have to convince him.
Are your dreams and expectations on hold because you're allowing doubt and unbelief to settle in? Don't give up on your possibilities. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages you. Yes, you can accomplish your goals and fulfill your dreams. Order this powerful message today. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Yes, You Can.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.